It's a beautiful morning. The birds are chirping. The sun is shining. And you're listening to
Breakfast with Lazy.
Next up, some smooth jazz on your drive to unemployment.
What the fuck?
I know it's mean to say you're green, but you gots to leave WWE. You're not fit to be the shit, so stay at home and make my grits. That's the first verse.
If anybody's looking for a new co-host for any radio show, I'm available.
Good evening, wrestling fans, entertainment fans. This is Anthony of wrestling-news.com. I want to thank you very much for listening tonight.
Oh, how I had no idea that the wrestling world was filled with atheists. Dixie, you are forgiven.
Hey, who, Kermit the Frog? I am the new GM for Raw. NXT! NXT!
Yay! Get the fuck out of here. Go into the TNA Impact Zone with one of those metal detector wands, and when Hogan comes out to cut his promo and he's doing the air guitar, just turn the fucking thing on. Since youngins do listen, some of your youngins out there do listen, I think it's a little bit too inappropriate to be using the word cunt on this show. People out there, remind me in a little while the word Hindu. That's how the shows go. If you're new to the show, whatever comes to my mind, that's what I say. Total Nonstop Anthony, that's what you got tonight. Total Nonstop Ant. Total Nonstop Ant. Total Nonstop Ant. You know, as I mentally prepared for this edition of Breakfast with Blasi, I sat here in retrospect for a little bit, realizing that 2018 is my 20th year doing hotlines and podcasts, 20 years. It's mind-blowing how fast two decades have gone by. And even though I obviously can't individually thank each and every one of you out there, it is also mind-blowing to realize how many of you who have been here since day one. Day one! And I don't know what it is about what I do, how I do it, that made you want to stick around this long. It's just, I can never profess the thanks, support, and love and appreciation that I have for all of you out there. It's just absolutely amazing. The one thing that I've always looked at with these shows going back 20 years is that this is a hobby. It was a hobby 20 years ago that I still took extremely serious. It's a hobby 20 years ago. It's a hobby now. It's going to be a hobby tomorrow. I am not going to risk and take the chance of closing my business, closing my regular source of income, and cross my fingers hoping that I could sit on my ass and just talk, even if it's every day, and that's going to pay the bills, pay the rent. You know, if I do get engaged and married this year or next year, you know, take care of my significant other. Just, it's too risky. But in the 20 years of doing this, even though it's a hobby, as I said, I take it very, very seriously. I have always had a motto: I don't want to be first, I want to be right. And there are old promos, you hear me doing that, and it's a belief that I have inside. In anything that I talk about, it doesn't have to be wrestling. It could be news. It could be anything. I don't want to be first. I want to be right. Not only do I want to be right, I always did my homework, did my research, always took a step back as a human being and looked at something with common sense. And that's how I would tackle topics. And for the 20 years, these have been opinion shows. Sure. When Mr. Mystery, Brian, used to work for TNA, and he was giving us all that exclusive crazy shit that we were sharing on early episodes of the Don Tony Kevin Castle Show and the Minority Report, yeah, it was fun breaking all that shit. But overall, these are opinion shows. But in 2018, now because of social media, everybody wants to have a voice. Everybody wants to have an opinion. You look at Hollywood, you look at sports athletes, you look at singers, musicians, every aspect where those people have an extra zero or two at the end of their salary. They all want to have a voice. And with that amount of input, when it gets to wrestling, you have wrestler after wrestler after wrestler after wrestler after wrestler after wrestler with a podcast. And when we started branching out from hotlines to podcasting in 2003, there was only a handful of podcasts out there. Chris Cash, you know, say what you want about the guy and him being a little shady way back when, and the controversy with him and New Jack and others, and, you know, him going around his school and bragging to everyone that he's got Steve Austin's number in his fucking cell phone or Eric Bischoff, stuff like that. The guy still had a vision of having a podcast network. FanTalkLive.com gave a lot of people an opportunity to do a podcast, you know, get your feet wet. And then eventually I branched out, got my own website. First it was WrestleGuide.com. Then it was Wrestling-News.com. And people mostly know it now as DonTony.com. And got my own server, got my own bandwidth. You know, everything is done here. I, over the years, you know, was offered to do FM radio, was offered to join other wrestling networks out there with podcasting. I chose not to. I like the fact, you know, I know Baron Corbin calls himself the lone wolf, but I like being a lone wolf. I like being in total control of what I do. I don't want to have to conform to a time limit on other networks, or you can't be vulgar here, or you can't say this, or you can't do that because you might piss off people that you have a relationship. I always was brutally honest. And I'm not saying all this now for you to be like, oh, thank you, Don Tony. Thank you. Mwah, 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 mwah. No, I'm saying this for a totally different reason. It has nothing to do with me. 15 years ago, you had a couple of dozen wrestling podcasts. But in the year 2018, with social media, YouTube, Block Talk Radio, everybody having a camera phone, there are thousands of wrestling-related podcasts out there. Thousands. And sure, there are a lot out there that do it for fun. They do it to entertain their buddies. They do it because they love wrestling. It's, you know, it's fun to do. And I know some of you that listen to my shows do this as well. I totally respect that. Have a ball. Have fun. Enjoy what you're doing. There are also others out there that are taking this very, very seriously with the hope that they will get a future in pro wrestling. They try hard. They do a lot of research. They're trying to hone their craft. But a lot of them realize that to go from point A to point B is a lot of hard work. And with thousands of wrestling podcasts now, and with so many famous people in wrestling having a podcast, it is not easy to even make a dollar doing this. It's no secret. Mish and I, we've spent tens of thousands of dollars over the 20 years doing this stuff. All right? Now, when you divide over 20 years, it's not a crazy amount of money every year. But even if you drop $3,000-$4,000 a year doing this stuff, and you do it for 10 years, it's a lot of money. And just think, when I started doing the podcast in around 2003, where there's so few out there, you know, didn't make any money whatsoever. Not making much of anything now. But as I said, for those that are taking this very serious out there, you have my respect. They realize now to go from point A to point B is hard work. It's a lot of dedication, and there's expenses involved. And unfortunately, thrown in the middle is what you and I come across almost every day now. You have those handful of podcasts and handful of websites that will just clickbait and clickbait and clickbait because They'll do anything to get you to click on their website. There are podcasts out there that get a shitload of people, and they don't put in the effort to do any research. The Roman Reigns story is an excellent example of that. And I just, the one thing I can't stand the most is lack of effort as far as doing this stuff. And yes, I have butted heads with Kevin Castle over the years. I've butted heads with Mish because I just feel that these shows, that what we do, anybody could hit record, read news word for word over or from a wrestling website, and because people like them or their voice sounds nice, they got the show. That's fucking bullshit. When you have people that will just go on a website and read wrestling results, WWE had a house show in Plattsburgh, Indiana. Oh, Roman Reigns wrestled blah, blah, blah to another. Any fucking person could do that. So I feel what has separated us, Kev, myself, Mish, Joey Numbers, from everyone else out there is we put a lot of hard work and research of what we do. And when I get into the Roman Reigns story, as you heard this past week with the Paige stuff, and I talk about Jey Uso as well, you realize very quickly why it's just so frustrating to see what is going on these days with so many wrestling websites, with so many podcasts that just don't put in the work, don't put in the effort. And I know it's easy for a lot of people to say, well, just ignore them. Or just stay away from them. The problem is that when you see, you know, other websites picking up their stories and it gets published everywhere, you know, like I said, look at the Paige story, as I mentioned earlier. PW Insider is the one that reported that story. They gave no medical sources. All they said was that the sources were in WWE. What the fuck does that mean? Sources within WWE. It could be a couple of wrestlers backstage saying, oh, she's done. She's done. Oh, fuck that. Her career is over. You know, you don't see no statement from WWE. You don't see no statement from Paige. How many people out there read the story this week and realizing now that Paige, you know, wrote that the comeback is stronger than the setback. Or 2018 is going to be my year. Or even the video clip of her saying that she's out right now because of a neck injury. All right. How many websites out there you read that included that stuff as well? Not many. And when I get into the Roman Reigns thing, like I said before, there's so much shit that was ignored and neglected on that story that just, I read it in this disbelief. So I had to preface with that before we go into anything further. Because I just felt it was so unfair to Paige. And look, her career may be done. She definitely suffered a setback. That is the word that I used since day one, setback. That ended up being a word that she used a couple of days ago. But I see podcast after podcast, and I'm not talking about bullshit podcasts with 20 views or people doing this for a hobby, all right? I'm seeing podcasts with a shitload of viewers and websites using words like Paige's career comes to an abrupt end. Paige's WWE career is over. She's officially retired. And I'm like, what are you basing it on? One fucking website that has WWE sources within WWE, and nobody takes a step back and says, you know, I need a little bit more before I use a title like that. And again, I will reiterate this repeatedly. Paige's career may very well end up being done. When she had the neck surgery, the doctors told her not to return to the ring. Did you see anybody at that time saying, you know, despite doctor's orders, you know, Paige's career could be over, you know, a doctor's report. You know, you might have seen a little blurb here and there, but not now. Why? Because Paige is back, she's got the movie, and people are desperate for hits and clicks and views. And I think that's pretty fucking pathetic, especially when you forget that there's a human being involved and she's obviously going to be depressed about this setback. And instead of, you know, holding out hope, That's the one thing. We're supposed to hold out on hope, whatever what we do. But to write things like her career is over, abrupt end, that's so, to me, that's so fucking disrespectful. If WWE gave a statement, or doctors gave a statement, or Paige said that, it's different. But from what I saw, it's just bullshit. And the Roman Reigns thing is even worse. And I might as well get into the Roman Reigns story now. And before I go any further, I know I'm doing this over, 13 minutes in. But welcome to this edition of Breakfast with Blasi for January 17th, 2018. I am Don Tony. I want to thank you very much for listening, as always. Now, a lot of people think that Forbes magazine has a good relationship with WWE. And even if they didn't, Forbes is a big deal in business. But when we get into the story, which everybody is talking about, which I obviously have to cover, you're going to realize quickly that, number one, just because it's Forbes or Sports Illustrated or any other esteemed company out there, that doesn't mean that the people that are writing for it have any, serious background in the journalism that they're doing. All right. A lot of you out there could get hired to do a lot of work for a lot of these websites, writing stuff. Number two, I just think it's embarrassing for Forbes to rush to put this story out there. They posted it at 8 o'clock this morning. And after I get into what this guy wrote, what was left out, and what this guy decided to focus on, they were more concerned about, number one, getting hits. Number two, the classic case of, we don't want to be right, we want to be first. And I'm not saying that he's right or wrong in this, but to rush to try to be first with the big article that everybody references it, this is terrible, careless, disgusting, embarrassing, ridiculous bullshit. So anyway, who is Alfred Kanua that wrote this article? All right, I'm gonna now look. His bio is obviously about 4 years old because he references Finn Balor as the NXT champion, so it's old. All right, but I'm gonna read it anyway because look, people do outdate their bio sometimes. Fine, but this is the guy that wrote Forbes. Okay, Alfred Kanua. I've been a pro wrestling columnist and video blogger for a leading national sports website since 2010. No idea who the site was. Not even going to waste my time Googling to get the answer. But since this article, his bio was about, four years old? So he was writing for about 4 years. I graduated from the University of California, Santa Barbara, with a major in business economics, an emphasis in accounting, and a minor in sports management. That is impressive. Kudos for him for graduating college. I'm serious. I'm not saying that to be I really mean that. But I want you to focus on the business side of what he's talking about. As a lifelong wrestling enthusiast with a background in business, I often cover the unassumingly robust financial side of WWE's global entertainment empire. Okay. He's a perfect guy that should be writing about WWE, maybe what would happen if they went to Fox, the USA TV deal, things like that. He goes on to say, I also host my own podcast, the Pod Nasty Wrestling Podcast. Past guests include the likes of current WWE Heavyweight Champion Seth Rollins, Iron Sheik, Kevin Owens, Neville, and the NXT champ Finn Balor. Blah, blah, blah. Fine. He's got a good business background. So he is the person chosen to write about Roman Reigns. Now, the title of the article is WWE's Roman Reigns Linked to $10 Million Steroid Ring. Now, the fact that Mark Wahlberg that was also ratted out in this article, and I say rat for a reason, and I'll get into it later. All right, you would think in the Forbes world, entertainment world, I don't care that this guy writes for WWE, you would think that Mark Wahlberg is probably a bigger name than Roman Reigns to be writing about someone who could be linked to a $10 million steroid ring. So maybe this guy shouldn't have been the person writing it. Maybe someone in the entertainment section of Forbes and use Mark Wahlberg. Now, look, I like Mark Wahlberg. I'm not trying to put any negative press against him. All I'm saying is that Forbes decided to focus on Roman Reigns more than anybody else. Okay? So anyway, here's the article. And I ask you, if you find this story interesting leading up until now and you wanted to hear what I had to say about it, please listen closely to what I'm reading and what I say. It's very important when I get into stuff later. Roman Reigns has been named as an alleged client of jailed steroid distributor Richard Rodriguez, who's Miami-based Wellness Fitness Nutrition LLC, abbreviated for WFN. I will mention WFN a few times in this, was raided by the DEA last February as part of a year-long investigation. The organization, which was taken down in a scandal that has largely flown under the radar in the national media, is being compared to the Balco investigation, which was linked to several high-profile athletes, including Jason Giambi, Marion Jones, Bill Romanowski, and Barry Bonds. According to the U.S. Attorney's Office, WFN's client list included at least 50 customers in the Eastern District of New York in a massive ring that made at least $10 million in the distribution of illicit anabolic steroids. Rodriguez, who is currently in prison, recently came forward to specifically name Hollywood stars Josh Duhamel, Mark Wahlberg, and WWE superstar Roman Reigns as part of an exclusive interview with filmmaker John Bravo. And I will have some things to say about Mr. Bravo later on. Said Rodriguez, and I quote, "At the end, I'm just trying to clear my name and just make people well aware. There's a lot more people out there that were involved and associated with my company that many individuals did not know." Rodriguez continued, referring to Roman Reigns, says, and I quote, "He's a very down-to-earth person. However, a situation involved in with, which oftentimes when you brought the trials, which I was not, I decided to take a plea. However, they disclose discovery. Discovery is basically the proof that they have against you. One thing, one part of the discovery is what's called tried and true statements, which is basically disclosing everybody whom the investigators or people that were investigating you have spoken to with regards to your company, with regards to you, with regards to any other co-defendants that are associated with the indictment. So that's one of the reasons why I disclosed him." So now, talking about Roman Reigns, he's a down-to-earth person. He goes on to try to, like, convince us why he's ratting these names out. Now, keep in mind, this guy is in jail right now, on trial. The trial starts in April, all right? So I want you to keep that in mind, because why isn't this guy's lawyer telling him, keep your mouth shut? We haven't gone to trial yet. He's being interviewed by a YouTuber called John Bravo, Johnny Bravo. And when I get into all the stuff that was left out of this Forbes article, it'll give you a little bit of light as far as this Richard Rodriguez guy, this Johnny Bravo guy, and why I think everybody needs to take a step back before thinking that Roman Reigns is fucked. All right. So anyway, let me go further. Reigns, this author of this article, Manu or whatever his name is, Reigns is scheduled to defend his IC champ against The Miz the next Monday at Raw's 25th anniversary show, blah, 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 blah. The reaction to Reigns, which was already anti-Reigns territory, will not be pretty. He then talks about in June 2016, Reigns was suspended for 30 days for Adderall. Then this guy decides to spend 9 paragraphs, talking about the signature pharmacy steroid ring that WWE, you know, had some involvement with in 2007. If you remember, Randy Orton, Charlie Haas, Booker T, Shane Helms, there were so many names. Randy Orton was named on there. Batista was accused, but I think his name was cleared. So this guy spent 9 goddamn paragraphs talking about WWE's scandal from 07. 9! So when you think of those 9 paragraphs, you ask yourself later on, why did this guy focus so much on a steroid scandal of 07 with WWE instead of talking about the present? Talking about, you know, 90% of his article has nothing to do with the present. So anyway, getting past all of this, he finishes up the article by saying, in 2013, WWE introduced a redemption program that allowed superstars with 2 violations to have one of the violations deleted, provided they remained clean for 18 months. Many referred to this policy as the Randy Orton rule because the program seemed to be fine-tuned for Orton's situation as a WWE superstar with 2 wellness violations to his name. It remains to be seen how Reigns will be handled in light of these very serious allegations, but after main eventing three past WrestleManias, he just might have enough star power on his side to weather the storm. Then there's a little update. The lawyer for Richard Rodriguez sent this little statement to add to this article. Richard Rodriguez's lawyer says, and I quote, "I think my client is doing all he can to shed light on the prevalence of steroid use in various industries in an effort to combat the allegations made by the U.S. government. I cannot confirm or deny the claims made in my client's statements, but I can tell you that Mr. Rodriguez has maintained his plea of not guilty, and we are currently preparing for the April trial." Okay, fine. All right, so that's the article. Now, let me shed to you a little stuff that I actually found. This guy, Richard Rodriguez, you know, as was reported, was arrested in February of last year, being accused of this $10 million steroid ring. All right. What a lot of people, well, just about everybody, hasn't told you is that about a month and a half after he was arrested in early of 2007, he went on a website called fundedjustice.com and asked people to raise, he asked for $100,000 to be raised. Okay. Why? This is Richard Rodriguez's post for this fundraising. And they raised $32,000. I just want you to keep that in mind. "Hello, everyone. We are Richard and Nancy Rodriguez, who have been accused of steroid selling at our gym. We need help to fight this case and get justice and get our hard-earned reputation reestablished. We want to provide a stable home for our three-year-old son. Hello, friends, family, and everyone. We are Richard and Nancy Rodriguez, parents of Max Ryan Rodriguez, who have been wrongfully accused of steroid selling at our successful franchise gym, Iron Addicts Gym Miami, and running an illegal operation, which was actually licensed hormone club. Due to all the seizures and freezing of our assets, we are put in a very bad financial situation to let alone live and survive, but most importantly, to hire the right attorney to help us fight this case. We are a family that has worked 15 plus years to earn this great, honest reputation that was tainted by this matter and want to fight endlessly to ensure it get restored." Now, on a side note, everyone, as I read that, that he's got this great, honest reputation. How is this guy going public to say that Roman Reigns, Mark Wahlberg, or anyone else was tied to steroids? He's got this donate to me and my family thing saying that we did everything by the book. So if he did everything by the book, why are you implicating customers that bought regular products, right? Why is did he go public and throw these names out there? Well, I'll get into that in a little bit. And remember, this is an opinion show. These are just opinions of what I'm saying. I'm not making any accusation. But again, I take pride in all the years of doing these shows. I use common sense. I don't fucking just read and, oh, it's fucked up. It's fucked up. You know, I see people out there, oh, please, oh, my God, please, 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 let me see, let Roman Reigns be guilty of this. What the fuck is wrong with you? Seriously. Everyone out there, you can't stand Roman Reigns as a wrestler. You don't like him on your TV. You know, you want to see him implicate. Please, I don't like Roman Reigns. I don't want to see him on my TV. Do I want to see him? Look, if he was taking steroids, yeah, I want to see him get punished for it. For the people that are crossing their fingers hoping that he took steroids, no, I don't hope that anybody, please. So anyway, let me finish this campaign that this person put up that nobody seemed to bring up. "The real people behind this matter are out laughing at what occurred to us, but we need to be able to get representation to enlighten everyone who the real masterminds are. All we ever wanted was to continue to provide new business opportunities, and this has caused over 50-plus people to lose their jobs and financial security. All we want is to clear our name and be able to reopen our business and bring back the security these employees relied on for over 4 years. So he posts pictures of him, his wife, this and that. And then he posts an update in April of last year. "We want to continue to thank everyone for your support and prayers during this difficult time for myself and my family. In exchange for any contributions, you're welcome to select from the following services I am providing on my website. By the way, that website is not even in existence. All right. He's talking about how he wants to raise this money for the lawyers, for his family, this and that. So he then says, I want to update all our members and former employees that the trial is going great and the attorney you all helped us to secure is working diligently in fighting for justice and getting this case dismissed. We'll inform you guys in the next video, this and that, blah, 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 blah. All right, so there you go. He's got a website. And then finally, you know, he focuses on his son, Max, you know, for the contributions and this. Okay. FundedJustice.com. He asks people to donate money and they raise $32,000. Okay. So now here's where this John Bravo comes in. And just pay attention to the timeline. February 2017, the guy gets arrested. March 2017, he asks people to donate money to him. They raise $32,000. Early April of 2017, this YouTuber, John Bravo, starts posting these videos on YouTube looking at the ongoing mystery behind the DEA drug bust of the drug ring involving the owners of Iron Addicts Gym Miami. And he singles out names like Mike Rashid, who is the co-owner, this, this, and that. And then he finishes up the post by saying, Richard's family story has inspired us to make this film. What he's going through as a person, human being and father, and it must be extremely hard to deal with. Please help him fight and bring forth justice. And he posts the donation link for Richard Rodriguez's legal fund, which I just mentioned, okay? So now look, John Bravo gets an interest in his story. He wants to help Richard Rodriguez. I don't know the relationship behind him, but this man, John Bravo, starts covering this story and really pushing for Richard Rodriguez's innocence in April of last year. April of last year. Now, we fast forward to, hold on. We fast forward to June of last year. A couple of nutritional websites post that Wellness Fitness and Nutrition's Richard Rodriguez sells peptides to bodybuilders while being prosecuted for steroid trafficking. In around June of last year, he was let out of jail. Okay, I'll get into the jail story in a little bit because you realize he's in jail right now. So you can ask yourself, how is he in jail, let out of jail last year? Oh, wait till I get into that story. And again, all this was left out of these articles today. So last year in early June, the article writes, Richard Rodriguez, co-owner of Iron Addicts Gym in Miami and a majority owner of Wellness, Fitness, and Nutrition, WFN, and his associated brand of anabolic steroids has decided that it's a good idea to sell peptides to bodybuilders under the guise of running a research chemical business. Rodriguez is currently facing prosecution for operating an international steroid manufacturing and distribution ring. He faces a maximum sentence of 20 years in prison if convicted. In spite of all the serious charges pending against him, Rodriguez issued a press release promoting the sale of peptides to bodybuilders via Newswire on June 15, 2017. Richard Rodriguez's companies span across the globe, have dominated the peptides, transdermal, hormonal, and contest prep market. Rodriguez boastfully hinted at his success selling hormones while conveniently neglecting to mention WFN by name or the fact that WFN was shut down by the DEA. But the big news contained within the press release was the link included with the word peptides. A reader who clicked on the hyperlink would be transported to Rodriguez's personal website where he offers numerous growth hormone releasing peptides and other unapproved peptides for sale as research chemicals that are not intended for human ingestion. The same website, I should remind all of you, that is now shut down. The peptides sold by the RR team, Richard Rodriguez team, include popular bodybuilding and performance-enhancing drugs such as IGF-1, Ipermolin, GHRP-6, Tessa Marlin, PT-141, Thymosin Beta, the Richard Rodriguez team even sells a blend of four different GH-promoting peptides, GHRP6, CJC-1295, IGF-1. And I know some of you out there do bodybuild, so some of these names might, you know, be familiar to you. Not saying you take it, but you might have heard of it. Rodriguez failed spectacularly in his attempt to legally sell anabolic steroids to bodybuilders if avoidance of prosecution was a concern. Of course, WFN shipped out over 50,000 steroid orders to customers and generated over $10 million in revenue over the course of a couple of years. So this goes on to all this. The guy got out of jail and started selling these through his website that was shut down. Notice how this was all left out of the article today. Okay. Now, remember the date I said June 15th? That same day, this article came out. Brooklyn federal prosecutors say that a businessman accused of illegally peddling steroids told some tall tales about the details of a jaunt to California, and they want him locked up for the heavyweight fibs. This ain't he lied. Fresh from his release on a $300,000 bond weeks ago, so he had $30,000 cash to buy the bond, I might add, everyone, Richard Rodriguez asked for court permission to go to the Golden State, California, later this month because his itinerary included an interview for a consulting position with NBC Sports and a meeting with a lawyer to assist in his defense. Except the Miami businessman, Richard Rodriguez, had no interview. The NBC executive who Rodriguez claimed he was meeting said there wasn't any interview and that he just gave Rodriguez a business card just to be nice when they sat together on a recent plane flight. Prosecutors also pointed out that the lawyer Rodriguez wanted to meet, Todd Macaluso, happened to be locked up in a Brooklyn federal jail. The disbarred attorney is charged with plotting to fly more than 1,500 kilos of cocaine into the country. Rodriguez was telling bald-faced lies, said assistant U.S. attorneys Michael Keidy and Caitlin Farrell. Rodriguez was being straight up, said his lawyer. Okay, so this is the story. The same day that that other story came out, he lied to prosecutors to get out of jail, and he claimed he was going to meet with NBC. That wasn't true. And he claimed he was going to meet with a lawyer. That wasn't true. All right, so I'm just telling you all of these other things that I researched, and you come to whatever conclusion you want, everyone. But finally, we lead you to what led to this big article that came out that everybody was talking about. And I, you know what? I actually do have to give a special shout-out to one of our listeners that actually gave us a heads up a couple of days ago, JJ Smith Radio. And you can find him on Twitter under the same name. He gave us a heads up that this was going to probably become a big story floating around because the same John Bravo on January 11th interviewed Richard Rodriguez while he was in jail. And the title of the article, Three A-List Celebrities Tied to WFN, Mark Wahlberg, Roman Reigns, Josh Duhamel. All right. So now this John Bravo is interviewing this guy in jail. This guy is saying that these three people, Wahlberg, Reigns, Duhamel, are tied to this $10 million. Why are these names being mentioned? Why is this guy? Because what I think is happening, everyone, is this guy, John Bravo, obviously wants to be famous. He wants to be well known. He's trying to get a buzz. He's interviewing this guy. He obviously took this guy's side in February of last year. If you look at John Bravo's YouTube channel, there's no videos, as far as I could find, as far as June of last year when Richard Rodriguez got out of jail and started trying to sell his, you know, I don't know what you say, you know, all these materials on a website that's no longer around. You don't see anything on John Bravo's YouTube channel talking about these accusations of him getting out of jail and lying to get out of jail. You don't see anything what led him to get back into jail. And to me, you look at the whole, you know, package of Richard Rodriguez getting arrested, asking people to donate money so he could take care of his family, getting $30,000 bond and getting a lawyer, and then he lied to get out of jail. And again, this is everything I'm reading online. Maybe some of this stuff ended up not being true, but I haven't found any articles to dispute anything of what I'm saying. So at the end of the day, I'm sorry that this might have taken, you know, 10, 20 minutes to talk about, but it is the biggest story that is going around wrestling the last couple of days that obviously I wanted to spend some time on it. Okay. Now, does anybody think, you know, maybe Mark Wahlberg took steroids? Possibly. Maybe Roman Reigns? Possibly. All I'm saying is that if you look at this guy's original, you know, statement that he did nothing wrong and he didn't sell anything illegal, and then now he's throwing these names out there. If they didn't buy anything illegal and he didn't sell anything illegal, why are you name dropping people and putting him in a situation where they're being accused of taking steroids, doing steroids? You understand what I'm saying? And why is this lawyer allowing this man in prison to keep doing these podcast interviews with John Bravo? You know, I think it's all to try to get money. I think it's all to try to get notoriety. And again, why is this man ratting these people out when you look at the whole synopsis of it? And again, you go back to the Forbes article. All this fucking shit was omitted, not even looked at in that article. Now, after looking at all this stuff, would you have reported this podcast from January 11th? Remember, the Forbes article came out January 17th. The interview was published on YouTube January 11th. It took almost a week before anybody even took notice to it. So people out there blew this into a major story for hits. For hits. When you dissect it and you put everything together, if Mark Wahlberg and Roman Reigns, Josh Duhamel, or anybody else were caught buying steroids, you don't think from February 2017 to now that they would have investigated them, interviewed them, contacted them, if they did anything wrong, arrest them? Nothing has been released. So again, you're going on a guy who is in jail right now that has some questionable, you know, accusations against him, not only as far as selling steroids, but lying to get out of jail, selling questionable materials on his website, which he put a disclaimer, not for human consumption. Website is shut down. You understand what I'm saying? You know, this guy, to me, in my opinion only, I don't put any credence in this right now. The DEA or someone else put some credible stuff out there later on, that's different. But again, if I was this guy's lawyer, I would tell him, shut the fuck up. Stop doing these podcast interviews. Stop doing it. I don't know if John Bravo is giving him any money because he's doing these interviews. I don't know what the deal is. But again, this is the biggest story going around. And keep in mind, I just recorded the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show with Kevin Castle less than 48 hours ago. So there's obviously not a lot of stuff to talk about that took place in the last 36 hours, but this is obviously one of them. So if I'm going to fill up an episode of Breakfast with Blasi, I'm obviously going to spend a little bit of time on it. So there you go. You come to whatever conclusion you want with this story. But honestly, I do not put any more credibility into it. I'm not going to put any credence into it until I actually see, again, this is like the Page thing. You know, WWE sources, or no. I want to see something concrete, something in writing. You know, talking about discovery phrasing it, and you're in jail on trial. You could be in jail for 20 years. Something doesn't pass the smell test for me. And look, before I move on, you know, I'm sorry if this might have sounded a little bit sloppy as far as me covering it. You got to understand something. You know, this broke this morning. I came home for lunch hour so I could do the show for all of you. So I had to get all of these articles, put everything together, chronological order, read it, let it sink in, look at all of the other facts around it, and try to come to a conclusion all in a matter of a couple of hours. So again, you be the judge how you want to look at this story going forward. And that's it. Very quickly, for those that may be interested in going to the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony this year in New Orleans, Louisiana, tickets are on sale. There's a pre-sale right now. I think the pre-sale code is called Tweets. And for the general public, tickets will go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. Central. And as we discussed on Monday, Goldberg is announced for the Hall of Fame. Some people are calling him the headliner. It hasn't been officially labeled as the headliner for him. But honestly, unless you're going to put someone like Undertaker in there, Goldberg's the headliner. That's just my honest opinion. By the way, yesterday they had the first match in their mixed match challenge. Originally, I thought, you know, USA Network at 10 p.m. Eastern had the top Raw 25 moments of all time. At the same time that WWE was live on Facebook doing a mixed match challenge. So it was kind of stupid that they're having these both happen at the very same time. But once I started watching this Raw 25, you know, I had to change the channel. You know, this is one thing I hate about WWE. I totally understand having fans vote on their favorite moments, whatever it is. But there's a reason, and I'm not trying to compare WWE to baseball or any other sport or movies or even music, okay? There's a reason why WWE, when it comes to doing top list in history, you have to come out with your official list. You have to come out with your own official list. And WWE takes the cop out too often. And as years go by, these lists get pathetic and moronic and stupid. And it's not the fans' fault. Not every wrestling fan has been a fan for 20 plus years, 25 years in the case of Raw. And 10 years from now, not every wrestling fan has been a fan for 10, 20 years. So the items that you have seen in recent memory, even if you weren't a wrestling fan when they happened, because it's still fresh and not too old, it affects you a lot more than stuff that may have happened 20 years ago. Case in point, Mick Foley winning the WWE title. At the same time where Tony Schiavone revealed it on Nitro. That and Chris Jericho's debut in WWE and even Mike Tyson, you know, having a confrontation with Steve Austin, those three would have been in my top five easily for the simple reason of the magnitude on how it changed WWE. All right, when you realize that WrestleMania tripled in sales because of Mike Tyson and Steve Austin and everything else, all of the notoriety in the press that it got from that incident. You know, you think of Jericho's debut. To me, that's my favorite moment of all time on Raw. Mick Foley, when you realize that a lot of people feel that that's the turning point in the Monday Night Wars, all right? Now, don't get me wrong. Daniel Bryan hijacked Raw when all those fans were in the ring. Okay, Occupy Raw is a very memorable moment. Should that be the third most biggest moment in WWE Raw history? No. The pipe bomb by CM Punk, sure, it was powerful. Should that be the second all-time moment in WWE history? No. The Steve Austin beer truck, is that top 10? Yes. Is it the number one moment in Raw history? No. What about Roman Reigns coming out and announcing that it's his yard from WrestleMania less than a year ago? Should that be ranked number six over Mankind's win, over the DX invasion of WCW, over the Steve Austin beating up Vince McMahon in the hospital? You know, come on. This Is Your Life, Rock, was ranked number 20. Number 20, the biggest rating. Well, the second, if you really do the research. All right, Mike Tyson was ranked number 21. Why? Because WWE let the fans vote. And when you got a lot of young fans that didn't go through the Attitude Era, Mike Tyson, they don't give a shit about. Mike Tyson's retired. You know, this PC era, a lot of people focus on Mike Tyson's alleged rape, the abuse to his ex-wife. What was her name? You know what I'm talking about. He's not as prevalent anymore. So WWE, very, very careless. Because when you watch Major League Baseball, yes, they will have fans vote on top moments and this, this and that. But you need to come out with your own list. WWE just cops out too much and does not make their own list and let fans react to it. They let the fans make the list, and you get a lot of newbies, and a lot of things just go out of whack. And to me, that's one of the reasons why I don't like to get into WWE's list anymore. You know, and again, it's not the fault of the fans voting. You know, not everybody has been around watching WWE, you know, since the Attitude Era. But, man, it makes these lists just so ridiculously horrible, in my opinion. Now, earlier I mentioned Jey Uso's DWI arrest. Now, obviously, you go on websites, you'll see DUI instead of DWI. You know, you'd think that they would even just do a Google search and understand that DWI is driving while intoxicated. DUI is driving under the influence. And when it comes to Texas law, all right, he was arrested for the accusation of DWI, which is driving while intoxicated, okay? Not DUI. He wasn't arrested for DUI. So when you see websites out there saying DUI, no, there is a big difference between DUI and DWI. Just like when we were joking on Monday and laughing at these websites saying that WWE signed a former Major League Baseball pitcher. No, when your highest level of baseball is Class A, you're not a Major League player. You never made it to the Major Leagues. This is just careless, stupid reporting. And if I'm going to do a podcast and I'm going to comment and report and give my analysis and opinions on stuff, I'm going to do it based on fact. And reading these websites, Jesus Christ, there is such a big fucking difference between getting accused of DUI and getting accused of DWI. Now, here are the facts as far as Jey Uso and some of the investigation and research I did as far as Texas law. You go check out Hidalgo, Texas's court website. Jey Uso was arrested and accused of DWI. He was released on a $500 bond, personal recognizance bond, which means he promises to appear in court. Now, as I have explained many times in the past, usually when you buy a bond, it costs about 10% of whatever the value is. Okay? So he probably paid $50, $100 to purchase his bond. So the fact that he was let out with having to come up with such a small amount of money shows you that this isn't looked at as far as a very serious matter. Now, look, DWI is serious, no matter what state you live in. In 2015, Texas changed their law a little bit when it comes to DWI and DUI. If you drive a commercial vehicle, you can't go past 0.04 without being arrested for driving while intoxicated. If you're a minor, you know, that's stricter. But as far as the blood alcohol content, as far as being considered DWI in Texas, it's 0.08. Now, WWE did make a statement on Jey Uso's arrest, and I think it's important to mention because of some other research that nobody bothered to do. WWE said, and I quote, "Joshua Fatu is responsible for his own personal actions. We are investigating the matter," this is important, "and awaiting information from local law enforcement officials." Waiting for information. Now, what does that mean? You got to understand something. When you get pulled over, and we're just pretty much focusing in Texas right now, all right? The Texas Penal Code, Title 10, Chapter 49, the statute defines the term intoxicated in two distinct ways. Having a blood alcohol content of 0.08% or more. Okay, fine. But nobody focused on this. Not having the normal use of your mental and physical facilities due to the consumption of drugs or alcohol. All right, it could be either, it could be both. So when police investigate a driver that they pulled over, suspected of driving while intoxicated, whether it's by alcohol or by drugs, they measure a person's blood, breath or urine, obviously with the blood alcohol content. But what they also do is they will do simple observation. They will observe the driver and determine whether a driver is intoxicated by his appearance, by his behavior, by the presence or odor of alcohol, or by a simple couple of sobriety tests. They could do the horizontal gauge nystagmus. What is that? It's a test when the police officer observes the eyes of a suspect as the suspect follows a slowly moving object such as a pen or a small flashlight or even a finger. I mean, you've seen it on TV. Follow my finger. Follow my finger. You look left and right. They'll also have the person dual walk, sometimes on the solid line, see if they stumble. They'll do a one-legged stance. If the police officer believes that the driver is intoxicated and they fail any of those tests, they could still be brought in. If you refuse to take the blood alcohol content test, the breathalyzer, or if you refuse to do the sobriety test, they could arrest you anyway. So we don't know what happened that led to his arrest. We don't know if he failed the breathalyzer. We don't know if he refused the breathalyzer test. We don't know if he smelled of alcohol and failed one of these tests that they do, you know, to check his reflexes. He could have had one drink, swerved a little bit on the road. They pulled him over and he couldn't do the test that he was doing, or the officer suspected. So we don't know the details. So yes, he did get arrested. Yes, he was let out on $500 bond, which is the standard in Texas, unless you do something serious, like have an auto accident, you have a kid in the car, or something like that. Then obviously they can increase it higher. But as of right now, all these reports trying to just say that he was driving drunk, asinine, premature, jumping the gun. So I just wanted to get into that story, and I wanted to get in a little bit of details. And again, I'm not trying to say this to brag, that saying, oh, our shows are better than anybody else's and this and that. I'm just saying, like, you know, this is not hard to do a little research and get your own facts. It's very easy, you know, to just read what someone else writes and put a sexy title to it. You know, careers page comes to an abrupt end. WWE career is over. Oh my God, what are they talking about? Click, 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 click. I don't clickbait, I educate. And as some people said on Twitter, another catchphrase, and believe me, I thought about writing it too. I don't clickbait, I masturbate. Yeah, I'm, you know, maybe I do, maybe I don't. Just a reminder, everyone, we are going to be doing the year-end awards. Kevin and I will be doing them. Maybe we'll bring Mish aboard. I'm not sure. But we're going to do it in the spirit of the Blackhearts. And if you don't know about the Blackhearts history, I'll give you a quick synopsis of it. As I said at the beginning of the broadcast, I started doing hotlines and podcasts in 1998. Back then, did a wrestling hotline. You know, it was called a whole bunch of different names. At one point, I know it sounds ridiculous, but I think in 1999, I called it the G-Spot, because when it comes to reporting accurate news, I hit the G-Spot every time. That was my corny catchphrase in 1999. Keep in mind, I was 19 years younger and very, very dopey, very hokey, and yes, I did stupid shit, said stupid shit back then. But when we had the Blackhearts Sports Entertainment Hotline going, the origins, the originals were Mad Zombie and Brian Damage. They did the Blackhearts. I know there were a few other people involved, but then when they merged with me and Timmy Arson, God rest his soul, you know him more as the ECW Zombie, and he's passed on. The hotline used to be Zombie, Damage, Arson, Funker, because that was my nickname. It was myself, Timmy Arson, a.k.a. ECW Zombie, Mad Zombie, Brian Damage. We had the Blackhearts Sports Entertainment Hotline. Can't tell you how many wrestlers, indie guys used to tune in. And I remember we used to have that really, really cool intro that we used the XPW music. And I think it was the SATs who made like the biggest fuss, you know, like how they listened to us and all that. And it was just fun to do. It was a cool thing. But back then when we used to do awards, you know, we used to be a little bit politically incorrect. The Comfort Inn Award, you know, the female wrestler you want to, you know, sleep with the most. We used to do it for the women as well. You know, now in this day and age, you know, I know some people would say, well, how come women only have to vote on the men? Or how come the men only have to vote? You understand what I'm saying? So obviously things have changed in the last 20 years. But we used to have like the Buried Alive Award, the Pink Slip Award, who should be fired, this and that. So in the spirit of the Blackhearts, Kevin, myself will be doing the year-end awards, and we will stick to the topics, the categories that we did as much as 20 years ago. And I think it was 2 years ago that I pointed out, in fact, I think it was, yeah, it was the 2016 year-end awards that I did last year. I brought up the awards from 10 years ago. And it's just unbelievable when you realize that 10, 11 years ago, Miz was getting all of the awards that you didn't want. Worst mic skills, person you want fired the most, this, this, and that. Miz was shitted on to no end 10, 11 years ago. That man has done a complete 180. And kudos, kudos. I mean, he definitely deserves it. But if you go to early episodes in the Minority Report, you can actually hear our year-end awards that we used to do back then. So we will be doing that very, very soon. So other than that, I want to give some shout-outs very quickly to our associate producers, our sponsors, our new and returning patrons. I obviously should have done this a little bit earlier in the show, but I got on such a tangent with the Roman Reigns stuff and everything else. But again, as I mentioned on Monday, shout out to our new and returning patrons, John Hennef, Kenneth Hewlett, Caesar Campbell, Scott Greer, and Justin Rebstock. Our associate producers, Brent Webster, Tom Nelson, the Metaphor Isaac Fox, Hassan Hashmi, Blake Michaels, Tykesy Bowers, Nathan Grundman, Jerry Stewart, Chad Davis, Jordan Good, Brandon Foley, Johnny Marin, Michael Westfall, Charles Lentz, Courtney Summers, Brandon Goins, Carl Buteau, a.k.a. Cheese and Rice, Aaron Walker, Aaron Kloss, Rich Diaz, Althan Ahia, Alex Cantalupo, our sponsors, TV Tracks. You can find them on YouTube. Clips of our show, Solo Monster, other shows as well. Rock Reviews, who does such a unique podcast with rock music. I know a lot of you that don't even listen to rock music enjoy their podcast. They are very entertaining. Speaking of entertaining podcasts, DJ Dells, he is most well known for a sneaker podcast, which you can find on YouTube under the name of Sneaker Addict. He does do other podcasts as well. SubZeroComics.com for all your wrestling collectible and comic book needs. On YouTube, you could also check out the podcast Undercover Capes, which they do a lot of collectible and unique items that they will review as well. And finally, on eBay, check out Skyhawks Wrestling Collectibles and Your Best Bargains LLC. Your Best Bargains could also be found on eBay. Amazon. Getting back to our associate producers, shout out to Douglas McKay, Rob McCabe, Michael Cuomo, Brian Byrne, Joe Bassi, Merle Coombs Jr., Steve Spiniak, Anna, Adam Des Moines, Spider Lewin, Ernesto Defenza, Frank O'Shea, James Deal, Kress, CJ Uhara, Mustainer, Scott Woodford, and I'm looking at an article right now. Eva Marie claims that she's an alcoholic. It's not fun, but we'll get into that article after I finish my plugs. Kress, CJ Uhara, Mustainer, Scott Woodford, Toby DeShong, Jason Pratt, Marcus Antonius, Josh Wilson, Mandingo Chamberlain, Billy Taylor, Danes Valdez, The Living Legend, Michael Rodriguez, Lucio Dalban, Sean DeMarsh, Bob O'Mac, Tim Everhart, Anthony Arado, Julian LeBlanc, Jeffrey Collins, Matt Militia, Mark Israel, James Gruesome, Jaron Bartolome, Anthony Smith, Bespoken, Crystal, and Sakani Eugene Wright. So I want to thank you all for the support. And again, without them, these shows would not only not be free, but they may not even be in existence anymore. They really do help us tremendously with the expenses. And if you have never checked out our Patreon page, give it a shot. Patreon.com/DonTony. If you like what we do and you can't get enough of it, not only do you support the show and help us pay the bills, but we have Patreon exclusive podcasts there. There's over 40 episodes of Breakfast Soup, hosted by yours truly and Anthony Missionary Thomas of Wrestling Soup. And this past week, we posted a free episode for everybody to check out and enjoy. It was the episode we did last week on the 10th. It was an absolutely awesome episode. And if you want to get an idea of what Breakfast Soup is all about, which I always hype, go check it out. You can find the links on our regular website, DonTony.com. This Thursday, Kev will be recording his solo podcast, Castle Chronicles. So if you sign up on Patreon, you get access to that. This weekend, we'll have the silver and gold giveaways for some wrestling prizes. And we will have the pay-per-view predictions contest in 2 weeks for Royal Rumble. So we got some really cool shit. Anyway, I'm looking at an article that Eva Marie, she was interviewed by InStyle.com. And she says that she was an alcoholic and has now been sober for 5 years. Quote, "I'm an alcoholic. I have relapsed, destroyed relationships, hurt my family, and disappointed myself numerous times. I will be an alcoholic for the rest of my life. The fact that I've been sober for almost 5 years doesn't mean that I'm cured. Doesn't mean I have a drinking phase in my 20s. Doesn't mean that I can have a few drinks now and then and just drink in moderation. I'm so happy I no longer feel this way, and I want to encourage anyone who is struggling with addiction to take that first step of asking for help. It'll literally save your life." Now, I'm going to be honest with everyone. I have, you know, said this many times in the past. I don't watch Total Divas. Never been a fan of Total Divas. For all I know, Eva Marie could have discussed this on episodes of Total Divas in the past. If she's brought this up before, then maybe this interview is done just to keep her name out there. But you know what? She has inspired some people. She's annoyed some people as well. And you have to commend her for being sober and battling her addiction. It's a never-ending situation. I had a relative who had an alcohol problem, and he got very sick over it. He battled his addiction for about 30 years, and he died a couple of years ago. So it is something that sometimes you have to deal with for your entire life. So you have to commend her for overcoming this addiction at a very young age, because you're in your 20s. You're like, hey, you know, I'm just having fun. I'm partying. There's a lot of ways to try to convince yourself to justify, eh, I'm just partying with friends. I'm just, you know, having fun, this and that. So, you know, kudos to her. And if she could help one person kick the habit, why not? You know, I am all for, you know, the interview that she did. Very quickly, yes, I did see SmackDown yesterday. Bobby Roode winning the United States title. You know, I think everybody and their mother thought that the finals would be Bobby Roode versus Jinder Mahal. I thought Jinder Mahal put on a performance yesterday of his career. He wrestled two matches. Yeah, he's not the greatest in the ring, but I have defended Jinder Mahal for quite some time now. And when we get into the year-end awards, I will definitely have to think about, you know, him being the comeback wrestler of the year. You know, comeback wrestler of the year is much different than, you know, most improved and stuff like that. I think he has improved dramatically over the last year, not just physically, but as I've said before, because it's not the first time he's saying this. He's got an in-ring presence now. He tells a story in the ring. Of course, he's not the best at what he does, but he doesn't embarrass himself. He doesn't look lost out there. And the fact that he wrestled such a long match with Xavier Woods yesterday and then had a match with Bobby Roode the same night and did a decent performance in both, I have no problem with it. I thought he did great yesterday. But it's nice to see Bobby Roode get the title. I know people have pointed out that the SmackDown heavyweight champion and the U.S. champion are both former TNA guys. So what? So what? You know what I mean? So what? I mean, Bobby Roode, for so many years, we wanted to see him in WWE. Granted, I think he does so much better as a heel than as a babyface. It makes you wonder. And I'm serious. There was quite a bit of a time that Bobby Roode did not get much of a reaction from the WWE fans. The only thing that he, you know, and I'm not saying he didn't get cheers. Of course he got cheered, but not to the level I think WWE expected. And for everybody out there that says, hey, why did they keep him babyface for so long? Because as ridiculous as it sounds, the fans, when they yell out glorious to go along with him, the whole crowd gets into it. Fan interaction. So you take away that little spot where the fans sing his song or, you know, go glorious along with him, you know, there's not much of a pop left over, you know, for the most part. His crowd reaction has improved over the last couple of months, and I'm happy that he got the U.S. title. For everybody out there that's saying, oh, let Dolph Ziggler return at the Royal Rumble, let him win the Royal Rumble and this and that. No, in storyline purposes, having Dolph Ziggler appear at the Royal Rumble is a dumb idea. And I am a Dolph Ziggler fan, and I actually enjoy his work. But if you think of the storyline, why would any SmackDown GMs, you know, anybody in storyline on TV, why they would welcome back Dolph Ziggler? He won the title, he left the title, and he walked out of the company. You allow him to compete in the Royal Rumble in storyline? I thought that's dumb. And you would be surprised how many people keep saying it. Hey, Dolph Ziggler, let him compete and let him even win. Why? So he could win the Royal Rumble and then walk out and say, I'm not going to. No. In storyline, he's out of the Royal Rumble. Someone else that is out of the Royal Rumble as of right now is Samoa Joe. Now, I don't think WWE has made an official announcement that Samoa Joe is out of the Royal Rumble. You know, there are reports that, you know, he injured his foot, he injured his leg, but very quietly, WWE has removed Samoa Joe from the names confirmed for the Royal Rumble. So, you know, let's hope that he'll recover in time, but it doesn't look promising right now. As I mentioned earlier, yesterday was the first match from the Mixed Match Challenge. I didn't mention the result, so for people that are curious, Finn Balor and Sasha Banks, they defeated Shinsuke Nakamura and Natty. I'm not going to lie, I haven't watched the match yet. Because me, I wanted to see the Raw 25 moments just to, you know, remember some highlights that I might have forgotten from yesteryear. But again, once I started to remember that the WWE Universe was the ones who voted on this poll, I just was like, nah, you know, this is going to be really just inaccurate. You know, did everybody deserve to be in the top 25? Yeah, for the most part. But the order, as far as me, WWE needs to take initiative with stuff like that. Like I said earlier, come out with your own list. Let fans comment on your own list. And then if you want to do a second list that's voted by the fans and let people compare, fine. But I hate how WWE does that. They do it where they want to put certain people over for certain reasons. I thought they pussied out this year. They voted for, when they did their top 10 wrestlers of the year, if I remember correctly, it was either sixth place or fifth place. They had for a tie the Usos and New Day. And again, I invite anyone out there to go look up the win-loss record for the Usos in 2017, and look at the win-loss record for the New Day 2017. It ain't even fucking close. It's not even close. I'm not going to say that the New Day lost more matches than they won, but the Usos blew away the New Day as far as their records go. And yeah, I know win-loss doesn't mean anything as much as it used to be, but when you're going to do Wrestlers of the Year, you know, you don't see many people who lost most of their matches being ranked in the top five, you know, for the year. So they pussied out because they didn't want either team to be looked at as better than the other during this year. So, but again, we'll get into our year-end awards shortly. And, you know, getting back to Jey Uso's arrest, will the WWE take the tag titles off of the Usos at the Royal Rumble? Because they are scheduled to face Gable and Benjamin. Now, remember, driving under the influence, driving without, while intoxicated, if it's alcohol, that's not a suspension, a mandatory suspension. We have had wrestlers get pulled over and arrested for DWI and DUI over the years and not get suspended. So this is not a wellness violation. So don't immediately think that WWE could automatically suspend Jey Uso. They may not, but I'll tell you this. If it came back that he did drugs instead of drinking, boom, I think they would arrest him in a second because obviously that's a wellness violation. But there is no reports whatsoever to even speculate that this man did any type of drugs at all. You know, we don't know. But again, if it ends up that he had enough alcohol in his system, WWE may not suspend him, but they may make them drop the titles at the Royal Rumble. So we'll see what happens, but it sucks. You know, I hope at the end of the day we find out that, and I'm not saying that this is acceptable, but in the best case scenario, I hope we find out that Maybe you went out to dinner, had a glass of wine, and maybe because it was laid out, he was a little tired, and the cops thought he was swerving. They pulled him over. He just had a very tiny bit of alcohol in his system. But because he may have failed the walking test or he was tired and he looked a little woozy, that they brought him in anyway. And hopefully that's all it is. Again, I don't condone drinking and driving at all. But let's be honest, everyone, as human beings, how many of you out there have gone to dinner with your significant other, your family, you go to a party, and you only have one drink? It's not illegal, one drink. But if you have that one drink and you get a little off on the road, that one little drink could cause major damage. But again, I don't want anybody to play fucking, you know, altar boy over here saying, oh my God, that's terrible, this and that. But I guarantee you that you've gone out to dinner, even with your family or your parents or somebody at a birthday, and you see your dad who drives and he's having a cocktail, even if it's only one. So again, please, don't jump the gun with Paige's injury. Could she be done? Could this end up being career ending? Absolutely. But we're not at that point yet. Don't jump the gun. Did Jey Uso drive while intoxicated? We don't know all the details yet. Don't jump the gun. And when it comes to Roman Reigns, after everything that I researched and read to you, yeah, it might have come off as a little bit boring, but I thought everything I read was very important to look at this in a whole, as a whole. We haven't heard any DEA stuff. I think the WWE would have known if the DEA interviewed Roman Reigns or if his name was named privately in this case that's being developed against these guys that had that, you know, company in Florida. So we don't know. Don't jump the gun. So that's it. I think we're going to end Breakfast with Blasi with this. I know it's a little bit of a different episode today because we really only focused on three topics: Paige, Jey Uso, Roman Reigns. But again, you know, there wasn't a whole lot that broke in the last 36 hours, which was the last time we did the DTKC show. And by the way, if you didn't listen to Monday's show, check it out. Kev and I had a lot of fun Monday night doing that show. And I even noticed that Kev on Twitter made a point to say that it's one of the most enjoyable episodes. He had so much fun. It's one of his most favorite episodes of all time. And he and I have been doing the shows together, just he and I, as far as Don Tony Kevin Castle show, since, what, 2006, 2007? But, you know, he's been a part of the podcast since 2004, 2005. So, you know, to make a claim like that, and he's been around the podcast scene with me for 13 years, it's a pretty nice thing to see. So go check it out. And that's it. Everyone, enjoy the rest of the week. I will be returning this weekend with Blah, 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 because I know some of you out there have some topics you want me to discuss, you know, not just politics, but baseball, entertainment, news, a few things. And we got baseball returning in less than a month. Pitchers and catchers are going to be reporting. It's amazing how fast this winter is going, but hey, I'm not complaining. So everyone, again, follow me on Twitter at DonTonyD. The website, DonTony.com, Facebook.com/DTKC Show. If you want to check out our episode archive for this show and the Don Tony Kevin Castle Show, go to www.DonTonyKevinCastle.com. I will be launching a new domain for that archive website soon, something that'll be much smaller and easier. It's probably going to be like DTKC.com or something like that. And again, if you like what we do and you can't get enough of it, or if you want a little bit more, go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/DonTony. There is so much fun shit there to enjoy exclusively on Patreon. And at the same time, you help us pay the bills. So with that said, I'm out of here. Your next episode of Breakfast with Blasi will be 2 weeks from today, which I can't believe it already will be January 31st. The next episode, the month's over already. I'm going to return next Wednesday, the 24th, on Patreon with your next edition of Breakfast Soup with Mish. Don't forget, speaking of soup, this Thursday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time online, you got Wrestling Soup with Joey Numbers and Mish. You can check him out at WrestlingSoup.com. And I will return this Monday night, the 22nd of January, with your next edition of the Don, Tony, Kevin Castle Show. That episode is going to be interesting because we're going to have Raw 25. I expect another Hall of Fame announcement. Will Hulk Hogan return? Will there be a major swerve? I think a lot of people forget some of these anniversary shows WWE does is usually something major that goes down. It's not going to just be a retro, oh, it's so cool to see blah, 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 blah. Something big is going to go down Monday. And we'll just wait and see what it is. So everyone, enjoy the rest of the week. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy Raw. And I'll talk to you all again this Monday night with the DTKC show. Everyone be well. Talk to you all soon. Ciao.
Support the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle Show on Patreon. Get access to thousands of hours of back episodes. Get bonus episodes
and exclusive shows. Castle Chronicles.
Breakfast Soup.
Pay-per-view recaps. DVDs.
Beer koozies. Tattoos.
And more.
Support the show that's entertained millions for over 16 years. Patreon.com/Don Tony. Once again, Patreon.com/Don Tony.